Thank you so much for joining us on this December the 3rd, 2017. We appreciate your faithfulness to listen to us each week, and it's a joy for us to bring the Sunday school lesson to you. So we just hope and pray you enjoy it as much as we do to teach it. We are going to be studying for some weeks now on a series of messages called Jesus Changes Everything. And in fact, the last lesson that we'll teach under that general theme will be on January 14th. So thank you for joining us, and we appreciate it very, very much. We're going to introduce ourselves. This morning we're slack in numbers, but we do have some other folks that we think are going to join us in just a few minutes. Brother Pinion, tell me a little bit about you.
Well, I'm Brandon Pinion. I'm pastor of Morris Bridge Baptist Church in another association, but I'm delighted to be a part of this time of broadcasting the gospel.
And I'm Herschel Owen. I'm Emmanuel Baptist Church pastor in Gordo, Alabama. And I, too, am. I really appreciate this privilege. I always appreciate any Amen. Privilege to stand up for the Lord and
Amen.
tell things about Him. So we're going to have a word of opening prayer that I'll ask Brother Pinion to lead us in, that he asked for leadership and guidance and anointing for this lesson.
Our Father, I'm thankful today for the opportunity and privilege of sharing the gospel. We don't know those who are listening, but you do. And we're so thankful for that. And I ask you today to use us to share the gospel with someone in our listening audience that might need to know Jesus. And I pray that what we say and do will be in harmony and under the leadership of your Holy Spirit to the needs of the lives and hearts of each of us, and especially to those who share this time with us on Sunday mornings. Thank you for the station and for the opportunity of now being a part of the ministry of spreading the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. If you'd like to follow us in your Bible, you can turn to Mark, the first chapter. We'll be looking at verses 14 through 20 today. And then next week we're going to be in Mark still. So, but with the idea that Jesus changes everything, and today that Jesus called, we're going to look at his call. And I hope you'll pray for us and join us in listening to it. John the Baptist was baptized, and Mark recorded it. He became a baptizer, and I should have said instead of he was baptized, he became a baptizer, and people flocked to him at the Jordan River to be baptized. As a result of that, Jesus came, and Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And after this, then comes the temptation of Jesus and the 40 days in the wilderness, and then finally the Lord through the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove was honored, and the Lord through the voice of his heavenly Father was acknowledged and honored. So then we see he began to call people out to follow him. So,
you know, Herschel, while we're at that point, I marvel at the fact that Jesus Christ stood all the temptation and all the power and influence the devil had. And we're looking at an age and generation where the devil is having a tremendous impact on our society. And it makes it even more understanding to me and more blessed to me to know that my Lord withstood the very best the devil had.
And for 40 days and 40
nights. I'm talking about 40 days, yeah.
And then, of course, that was not the end of his temptation. He was tempted all the way through.
Oh, yeah.
But that was a specific concentration, as you say, that the devil placed upon him, trying to get him to bend and break and bow.
But he didn't.
He did not.
He did not.
And if he had, then we wouldn't be teaching you about the Lord.
We wouldn't have a message, would we?
And we wouldn't have a hope.
Nope.
No hope, no message. We're going to look at this from three different standpoints. First of all, Jesus calls through the gospel preaching. Secondly, Jesus calls through his divine seeking. And then thirdly, Jesus calls those who are willing to respond. Brother Pinion, would you be so good as to read Mark 1:14-15?
Yes, I will. Be delighted to, Herschel. It says, "Now after that, John was put in prison. And Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.'"
Okay, the first thing that we see is the explanation about gospel preaching. And I've just listed three things. Of course, per opinion, you can give 40 more, no doubt, as far as explaining gospel preaching. But the gospel message is about the love of God. The gospel message is about the Son of God. The gospel message has a limited time to be preached.
All that ties together too.
Would you like to say anything? What? Just in simple terms, what is the gospel? And I've said it's about the love of God, the Son of God. And we need to be about the business because we won't have that opportunity forever. But would you have any other word you'd like to add?
Well, it is the good news of God's love and grace and his mercy and presence with us and for us. And the wonderful part of it to me, Herschel, is the fact that God loved us when we were not lovely.
That's right.
And he sent his Son to be our Savior, to forgive us and to cleanse us and to make us into vessels worthy of the kingdom of God after we pass here, this life.
That's right.
And the shed blood of the Son of God was the wonderful, wonderful sacrifice for us. And another thing that sort of strikes me in this passage that I read just then, Herschel, in Mark 1:14-15,
mm-hmm.
The first message of the Lord was repentance.
That's right.
He asked and he declared, repentance, and man, listen, you can't beat that.
What is repentance, Brother Pinion?
Well, it's looking back into our lives or on our lives on a current basis and finding that we have sinned, that we have fallen short of the glory of God, and having some sorrow because of that, and turning about from it, and turning away from it, and turning to the grace of God and the guidance of God in and through the Holy Spirit and the written word.
So it's not being sorry that we got caught and going to try to figure out a way to get out of it. I got a little old grandson that every time he gets in trouble, he starts hollering, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." But he's really not sorry. He's just sorry
he got caught.
That's right. And he's trying to maneuver to make his sentence a little lighter.
Yeah.
But that's not at all what the Lord's talking about. True repentance is just exactly what Brother Pinion told you. It is being sorry that you did it.
Yeah.
That you hurt God, that you were disrespectful to God in the sin that you committed. It hurt yourself, hurt your family, hurt others. But then being willing, by the help of God, as he said, to turn totally away from it.
Turn about from it.
Right.
And depend on the guidance and mercy and the grace of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm honest in this. I don't know a lot of people, but I know enough folks and have ministered to enough folks over the years, Herschel, that we don't take advantage of the Holy presence of the Holy Spirit nearly enough in our lives to make our lives into what God wants them to be.
What does the Holy Spirit actually do to us and for us, Brother Pinion?
Well, the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into maybe a better understanding of the Word of God, and maybe a better understanding of our relationship to God. See, when back before I got saved, I was having a good time. And the fact that sin is a pleasure for only a season.
That's right.
And only a short time. And then when that transpired, I looked at my life based on the Word of God and based on the sacrifice of the Son of God. And I said, I can't do this.
Right.
I can't go back in my life and extricate things that were violations of the love and law of God and of the mercy and grace of God. And so I had to depend on the shed blood of Jesus, along with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to come to this point of repentance.
Right.
See, I don't like to, and I don't know anybody that does like to say I'm sorry
and really mean it.
But that's right, because when we do that and really mean it, then we're acknowledging that we're failed. And I don't think any of us enjoy failing. But when it comes to the grace and love of God, there's no standard that we can meet as far as the human standard is concerned, and we have to acknowledge that God's got to do something about it because we can't.
And the fact is, like you said, we don't like to admit failure, but the truth of it is, we all have failed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, every one of us have sinned. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Right.
And every single one of us have. And, I mean, the listening audience now, we wouldn't be here if we didn't love them and want to share the gospel with them. But the listening audience now, there's not a single individual that has their radio on and are, to any degree, paying attention to what you and I say, that have not sinned.
Right.
And so that sin has to be cared for and has to be cleansed, or else we won't make it into the presence of God after death.
Absolutely so. And there's an interesting part that's starting off on that 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, when I introduced this, I told you that the beginning of Jesus' life and ministry had a lot to do with John.
Oh, yes.
And John was his second cousin. And I don't know how well they knew each other. John lived out in the wilderness, in the desert places, so I don't know how often they would be able to get together. But the fact that John was put in prison was a pretty harsh reality, especially for those that were going to be preached to.
Well, the reason he was put there was probably twofold. Number one was because of the influence of the devil.
Right.
And number two was for the fact that he attacked the way the leader of the political nation then was living, and he shared the gospel, and we're finding now that worldwide the gospel is a message that people are being punished for,
right,
in some of these third world nations,
right,
that we send missionaries to. I read of it practically every week,
right,
in an edition of the Alabama Baptist, where individuals have either been persecuted for it, they've been burned or run out, or they have been killed even for the declaration of the love of God and the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, and that somebody is there proclaiming that message to those individuals and ministering to them the grace of God.
And don't you think that the reason this is stated about John going to prison was because that made it much harder for people to respond to the call, because they said, that's what's going to happen to us too.
Oh yeah, subject to.
Right. If we respond to the gospel, we're going to be put in prison. What happened to him after he got put in prison, Brother Pinion?
Well, oh, Herod, wasn't it? Herod had a party. And somebody danced in his presence and got him all excited and stirred up. And probably the dance party might have been a woman and naked.
There been.
And got him all stirred up, and he said he would grant them their wish and desire, even to the half of his kingdom, didn't
right,
he?
Right, right.
And
exactly.
All the woman wanted was his head.
Was John the Baptist's head?
Head on a platter.
Right.
And they did. They beheaded him for his witness of and stand for the grace of God and the love of God in Jesus Christ.
So if we were to tell you today, now Jesus is calling you, and he is.
Yeah.
He's calling you through the thing about the love of God that Brandon's told you about the Son of God. Jesus was the Son of God. And it's time, and only a limited time, for you to respond. But if we told you just ahead of that, hey, there was several folks that we've been sharing a Sunday school lesson with been beheaded. Oh. We just want to tell you that up front.
Yeah.
Make it a little harder for folks to respond.
They'd think twice, wouldn't they?
It would certainly do so. So this is exactly in Jesus' call. He didn't have any gimmicks. He didn't put on any big program, big show. He just came with the message, as Brother Binion said, it's time, and the kingdom of God is right now, and repent.
Right.
And that's the same message that needs to be preached by preachers and Sunday school teachers alike. That's what we're preaching to you. We don't have you any offering of an easy life. We don't have you an offering of money or wealth. We just tell you that you must be born again if you're going to go to heaven. We also tell you that if you expect the Lord Jesus to help you in the good times and the bad, you must repent and come to him.
And make a life of depending on him. Her.
Right, absolutely.
We have, and I know you probably have had it too, in pastoring as long as I have, I've had people come and supposedly give their heart and life to the Lord and join the church that I was serving at the time, and then never come back.
Absolutely. So
never come back.
I've had them to join on Sunday morning and not even come back Sunday night. And never again.
Yeah, I have. I've had it.
I don't understand that.
And tried to follow up on it and tried to minister to them and make them understand that the salvation that God gives to us through the shed blood of Jesus and the repentance that it takes from us in order to have the fullness of his love and grace bestowed upon us is something that's going to also have a lasting and long-term value for us in serving him and living for him.
Absolutely so. And if it's genuine, and if you don't get in a backslidden condition and turn your back on him, which I have a hard time believing real Christians will do, it's a lifetime commitment.
Amen.
It's not once a week. It's not once a month. But it's whatever the opportunities are daily and hourly to serve him. How do we apply? We've talked about that. We've explained the gospel there. It's a message about the love of God. It's a message about the Son of God. It's a message that has a limited offering time. And if you hear the gospel today, you better respond to it in all honesty, because we don't know about tomorrow.
That's right.
How do we apply it, though? There must be a looking upward, and that's dependence on God.
Right, man. Amen.
We must depend on God. There must be a looking inside, and Brother Pinion has done an excellent job of explaining repentance there. There must be a looking outside at others. There must be a compassionateness for other people. I guess my question would be to those that are listening to it, are you passing on what you hear on the radio, Bible, Sunday school? We must pass it on. If these ladies hear of a Pepsi product being sold for 70 cents at a grocery store, they'll wear their telephone out telling all their friends about it.
Oh, yeah.
But what about when we know that Jesus saves, and Jesus forgives, and Jesus changes our life? Why are we not wearing our feet out, our telephones out, our voices out, going to tell that kind of news? If we love people, we will.
Amen.
If you love that little granddaughter or son that's there in the room with you, you'll tell them about Jesus. Mm-hmm. If you love your husband or your wife who does not know Jesus, you'll tell them about Jesus. If you love people, that includes the clerk down at the grocery store. That includes the man down at the garage where you get your car worked on. If you really love people, then you will tell them about Jesus.
And another thing too, Herschel, that I want to warn our listeners about is discouragement.
Right.
Now, you know, you can get saved and you can go out and start sharing the gospel. And then after a period of time, maybe you don't get the response that you'd like to have. In every case, you will not. But in some cases, you very likely will. But it's the seed that we sow or that we have planted in the hearts of those individuals that are out there. Sometimes it might take weeks, it might take months, and in many cases it might take a year.
Right.
Before that individual is going to come to a realization that there is a valid spiritual need and I must do something about that. I think what the devil does is he gets us to thinking, well, I'm just not doing any good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you might think you're not, but I imagine you're doing a whole lot more good than you think you are, because the Bible has said that it's not going, our seed is not going to return unto us void of any good or any benefit or any blessing. So what we need to do is we just need to cinch our belt and keep doing what God wants us to do in sharing the gospel and in praying for individuals after that.
Absolutely. Last week, we actually studied the lesson about how we get confused sometimes about sharing the gospel with being a salesman.
Yeah.
Now, a salesman, whether it be a car salesman or vacuum cleaner salesman, I was once a vacuum cleaner salesman.
Furniture salesman.
But I didn't do so well at the selling business. But here's the point. The car salesman or the vacuum cleaner salesman feels like that they have been a total failure if they bring everybody that they tell them about their product right down to the line where there's a sign on the dotted line. And if they refuse to do that, then they think they have made a total failure. Sharing the gospel is not like that.
No.
It's like Brother Pinion said, we share the gospel and we leave it up to the Holy Spirit to close this.
Close the deal.
Because we cannot.
That's it. I can tell you of one incident, Herschel. I mentioned the church that I'm privileged to pastor. And it's a small congregation that God has blessed and God has ministered to us through. And there's been a man in that congregation that's been a burden on my heart almost since I first got acquainted with him. Just a kind, cordial person, wouldn't harm anything, but he'd never given his heart and life to Jesus. His wife was a faithful Sunday school worker and worship.
Amen.
And she was there when the doors were opened. And I got to praying for this guy. And every time I'd see him, I'd call his name and say, we still got a seat for you. And about 3 months ago, I guess, or maybe a little longer, he came one Sunday. Well, there's several men in that community that are members of our church, and they come on a regular basis. Well, he found out they were there and found out that they had a lot of things in common, and he just kept on coming. He has not missed a single Sunday in that whole time. Well, I badgered him.
No.
I just told him, every time I'd see him, we still got to sleep for you, and we want you to come. And I'm convinced a lot of times some of these people that we minister to and try to get saved, we push too hard.
Yes, we do.
And I just determined, you know, I'm going to encourage him, I'm going to love him, and I'm going to pray for him. And last Sunday morning,
amen,
the Spirit of God got hold of him, and he just couldn't hang on any longer. See,
amen.
But we do get discouraged. We do feel sometimes defeated because we don't see the success that we want to see out of their lives and from their lives. But now we don't know what God's doing in the background,
right?
And we just have to depend on God and dedicate ourselves to God and keep our lives in harmony with God and let Him do a lot of the work. And those are the ones to me that really will count.
They will, I'm sure. But if you think about it, I really do enjoy tomatoes. I guess I really do enjoy a lot of foods, but tomatoes. But when you plant a seed, let's suppose you start from seed, and you plant that seed, and you go back the next morning and say, well, I'm going to pull me a ripe tomato off of that vine, and there ain't even a shoot come up through the ground yet.
Right.
But over time, as God does His work, because the coming forth of a seed to a plant to fruit is God's work.
Yeah.
And it's the same way with His work with people.
Amen. I'm glad you brought that up, Herschel, because years ago in the pastorate that I was serving at the time, there was a family there that we had gotten, Patsy and I had gotten acquainted with real close. And they came one evening to visit us, and it was in the spring of the year. And I was in the garden planting corn. And the guy's name was Gilbert Byers. He's with the Lord now. Fine friend, great Christian, served, loved, and just did everything he could for the kingdom of God. And then about a day or two later, it turned off cold as crap. I mean, it was cold. And I called old Gib up, and I said, Gib, I said, you better come up here and help me gather this corn. I said, it's going to be freezing tonight, and I'm in a mess. So, but I was kidding him, of course, about it. But it does take sometimes the process of the seed germinating, the soil becoming warm enough, the rains coming down on it in order to get it to grow and produce and return to us a hundredfold, as
right.
The Bible says.
That's
the way it is with the salvation and the kingdom of God.
And as poor a salesman as I was, and I admit that was not my calling, but when I was going to school, and actually there was myself, my mother, and my sister dependent on what we could make to live on and to pay school expenses, I had to do something, so I would try to sell. But you know, I found out one thing, that if you tell enough people about your product, somebody will buy it.
Yeah.
In spite of how bad a salesman you are.
Yeah.
If you tell enough people about the Lord Jesus, somebody will respond.
Amen.
And one of the greatest feelings, both Brother Pinion and I both, since he shared with me this morning about two guys that invited Jesus into their heart. We both have wept over that, because there's nothing in the world like knowing that somebody's going to go to heaven and they're not going to burn in that awful place
Amen.
Called hell.
Amen.
And we'd encourage you, please do that. Please, Jesus is calling, but He doesn't come out down by the River Jordan now and stand on the banks and call. Instead, He inspires us to do that. It is our responsibility to do it. So have that compassion for other people. Learn to love people. Ask God to give you that love for people. And then you just tell them about Jesus and pray for them like he has for these guys. And some of them will accept the Lord.
Oh, yes. And I haven't finished praying for them yet.
No,
I can't keep it up.
And there's others out there too. That's right.
Yeah.
And of course, he said in the beginning that his church is not a mega church or a church like we think about, folks talk about with thousands of members. But there are lost people around that church, that that church, with a compassion for them and a compassion and a commitment to God, can win to Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And your church is the same way, those of you that are listening.
Yeah.
You say, well, we only got 10. Well, okay, do what you can with the 10. It don't take 100 people to plant an acre of corn.
No.
So just do what you can and trust God for the rest. So God calls us through gospel preaching. Secondly, God calls through divine seeking. And we've just been all over that, really, but we're going to talk some more about it. Out of Mark 1, 16 through 18.
Let's see, is it 16 to 18 or 16
to 20? Well, I'm going to break that up, so just do 16 okay. to 18.
All right, 16 to 18 in Mark chapter 1 says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him."
Did you notice, Brother Pinion, that Jesus called busy people?
Oh, yeah.
Now, some of you are saying, well, I know my neighbor down the road, they were good people, but they're just so busy. That's the kind of folks God's looking for, busy people. Here these guys were. They were fishing, casting their nets into the sea, and I mean they were busy. And they weren't just trying to catch some fish for supper. This was their living.
Yeah.
This is the way they made their living.
Yeah.
So when Jesus comes, he calls those who are busy.
And you know, another thing, Herschel, that sort of strikes me too, is fishing is not an exact science. I mean, these guys, when they caught fish, they had to clean them. They had to present them. And the only way they had to preserve them was through salt.
That's right.
And by the time they caught the fish, made it to shore, cleaned the fish, salted them down, like we used to cure meat
right.
when I was a kid
right.
back in the country. We'd kill a hog, and he'd lay in the salt.
That's what we did too.
About a month or longer. And then we'd take him out and hang him up in the smokehouse.
Mm-hmm.
But, see, they had to do all of that. And I've fished some over the years, and I have never fished and come in when I wasn't dog tired.
That's right. Now, fishing may be fun, but it's work, too.
It's work. You gotta stay at it.
Now, let me say this, too, because you said this in the beginning. It's not an exact science. The Bible says that on occasions, Jesus came to them and said, "Children, have you caught any meat? Have you caught any fish?" They said, "No, but we fished all night long, and we hadn't caught a thing." And he said, "Well, boys, take your nets and cast them on the right side of the boat there." Well, they'd already washed their nets and put them up. I'm sure they were tempted to say, "Now, Jesus, we know more about fishing than you do." But they took their
they
nets.
They thought it, whether they said it or not.
They took their nets out, threw them on the right side, and they caught so many that it broke the net.
Yep.
So what I guess I'm saying is we don't know what impact we're going to make on people when we say a word to them, when we go fishing. I've gotten where I try, when I walk up to the cashier, I'll say, "Boy, I'm having a great day today, but I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian?" And they may, and most times they'll say yes. I don't know if that's always the truth or not, but they thought about it.
Yep.
And they're going to think about it. And so then I walk on. I don't stand there and tie them up and get them fired for being on the job. But you can do it just that easily. And they're busy people. But say, you know, this has been a great day for me. But I'm a Christian.
Say it by grace.
Are you a Christian?
Yeah.
And if they say yes, I don't know. I've had very few to say no. Most of them say yes. I don't know if they are or not, but I do know one thing. They're closer to being a Christian when I leave than when I came, because I did say a word for the Lord.
Amen.
And I hope that you folks that are listening, you'll understand that that's what he wants us to do. He called people that were busy. They could have said, Lord, look, can't you see we're working here? Can't you see we got a boat payment to make and a house payment to make and kids to buy lunches for and shoes for? We can't follow you. We can't quit now. They quit. There's two things. He calls those who are busy, and he calls those who will be a blessing.
Who want to be a blessing.
Yeah.
Who want to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, there's enough misery out there, Herschel, to make anybody and everybody cry if you dwelling on it and looking at it.
You would.
And there's enough need out there for us to encourage people and, you know, just to speak a word of encouragement to them. When their lives are in shambles, when their kids are doing whatever they want to do and it's not right.
Right.
When disease and difficulties and death surround us all. To speak a word of encouragement to people is just so needed now. And instead of being miserable, bless God, there's a lot of folks, I've heard them say, that telling somebody else about some disease and difficulty mm-hmm. that they've got, and they pipe up and come back and say, well, you know, the last fella I know had that died. You know, that ain't much of encouragement.
No, not.
A lot of times you can keep your mouth shut and be an encourager, too.
I know one preacher that's sitting at this table one time, one of his preacher friends went in the hospital with what he thought was a very minor thing. And he made such a report as that, and the preacher nearly died. And he repented of that. He said, I'm not going to do that anymore.
I was with you.
You were right there. So it's good for me to go ahead and confess that I did that. But I did not even consider him to be seriously ill. But by the same token, I didn't help him a bit in the world by what I said. And he did nearly die.
But he recovered, and we had a good laugh.
Oh,
out
we
of
did.
It.
He did, and we had many, many good years of fellowship and
sure did.
Friendship with
Thank
him.
God for him.
Sure did. Well, this would be a good place because there's some folks listening to us, and they know good and well that they're not a Christian. They know good and well that if the Lord would come today, or if he were to call them home through death, they are not ready. But then tell them how they can get ready. It don't matter. If you're a drunkard, you are a drug addict, you are a thief, if you're in jail listening to us, whatever the case may be, how can they get ready to meet God?
Well, the main thing, Herschel, is to admit and recognize that we're all sinners. There's not a single one listening now, there's not a single one that has ever lived except the Lord that did not have a cotton basket full of problems.
That's right.
I mean, they violated the love and grace and mercy of God. They'd gone sometimes just diametrically opposed to what God has done and what God is and wants out of us. And because of that, there's going to have to be a payment made in order to reconcile the bad to the good. And that's taking us as bad because of our sin and reconciling us to God and making preparations for us when we pass this life and go into eternity, that we know the blood of Jesus and that we have it applied to our hearts and lives and sin and soul. And when I recognized that I was a sinner, I asked the Lord to forgive my sins. I asked Him to save my soul. And He was kind enough and gracious enough and loving enough that He did just exactly what I wanted Him to do. He picked me up, brushed me off, cleaned me up, and he put the love of God in my heart and in my life. And I have, for these years now, tried my best to please Him. I've not done everything I needed to do and been near what I'd like to have been.
No, me either.
But in the midst of it all, God has been kind enough to forgive me because I've asked Him. And been kind enough to not abandon me in my failures. But he just did what I said just then. Picked me up, brushed me off, put salvation in my heart and the love of God in my life. And I've tried to live for Him and serve Him. And then if you do that, then you need to get into a Bible-believing
mm-hmm.
church.
Mm-hmm.
And start learning about who God is and what God does. And go on then into a life of service and a life of ministering the blessings of God to the hearts and lives of other individuals.
Is this true in some sense to those that are listening to us who used to be faithful in the church? Used to attend church, but something has happened down the way that has caused them to drop all that.
Well, they need to drop it all. And they need to come back to believing the Lord and believing the Bible and begin serving the Lord and let the Lord deal with those frustrations that we have from the past that have prevented us from worshiping Him and preventing us from being what we need to be in order to live and love and serve the Lord the way we should. There's not any of us that have not had disappointments.
Right.
Because, and those, the devil's going to see that those disappointments come. But it's what we do with those disappointments through the Holy Spirit and the blood of Christ that's going to really count as far as the longings of eternity and the full blessings of eternity that should be ours through Jesus Christ.
But somebody is saying right now, but how do I know? I mean, I messed up so big time. How do I know God will still forgive me? How do I know that?
Well, the Bible says that. We've got to have a basic belief in God first.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got to have a certain dependence on the Word of God as the message for us in times of need and difficulty and distress. I don't know of an individual that the devil's not going to attack.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's not going to leave us alone.
No.
Because it's his business to try his best to mess us up and mess us around in our work for the Lord. And he's going to do everything he can to discourage us.
And the second thing he's going to do is try to get us to put it off. I've been many times in my life, there was a time when I ran from the call to preach and I went into the military, and while I was there I got in a backslidden condition. I couldn't get away from God. But I could get away from and mess up my witness and testimony for God.
Uh-huh.
And the devil would say, well, you're right. You shouldn't have done that. You're right. The Bible does say that you need to repent and get right with God. The Bible does say that you need to be the leader in the home as a husband that you ought to be. The Bible does say, Mama, that you are to bring up those little children in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord, but you've got plenty of time. You've got plenty of time. Don't get in a hurry about this thing. Just wait. Go ahead and enjoy life, because after all, being a Christian is not enjoyable. That's what the devil will say. How would you respond to that, Brother Pinion?
Well, I'm just telling them they're wrong.
That's right.
That's exactly what it is. It's just the wrong attitude.
And I've walked through the cemetery, and I see some short graves in there.
Yes, sir.
I see some that says, born certain date and died 20 years later. I see some that's lived to be 40. Some lived to be 60. Some lived to be real old. But what category do you fit in? What assurance do you have that you're going to be in that 90-plus category? I tell you what, now Jesus says is the accepted time for salvation. Today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We bear down sometimes, Herschel, on that today is the day of salvation, but really he says now.
That's right.
Is the accepted
Don't even wait till the end of the day.
That's it. It's critical that we do it while the Spirit of God is working with us and working on us.
Some years ago, I was talking to a man. He and I were just talking. There wasn't nothing wrong with him that I could see. And all of a sudden, his head fell to one side, and his body began to slide down. I was able to catch him because he was seated. But by the time he was on the ground, he was with the Lord.
He was dead.
Dead. Yeah. And the paramedic, the first responders, they did everything possible. Had a lady the same way. She and her husband were getting ready to go camping. And they were loading the camper. And I got a call from him. Just he was weeping his heart. I said, I think, and he called her name, is dead. I got there quick as I could. And the first responders were working with her. And finally, after what seemed like hours, they got a heartbeat. But the next day, they took her off the ventilator because she was dead. She was dead. And folks, we don't know. This is something you can't gamble with. You can't gamble with it. I've flown airplanes ever since I was a young man in the service. And you don't gamble with things. You do things decently and in order and appropriately, because failing to do that, you may get by one day, you may get by 5 days, you may get by 1 year, but eventually that call is coming to you.
Oh, yeah.
To come home to meet God. So people, listen, if you only knew, we don't get paid not one single nickel for what we're telling you. Not a nickel. And the truth is, 95% of you we've never seen and probably never will in this life. We hope and pray that in the life to come that we will see you. You'll be a Christian.
Maybe one of them.
That's right. We'd like to meet you yonder in heaven. But why do we do it? Because we know the importance of turning to Jesus. So please, I don't care how sinful you've been. I don't care how far away from God you've been. He loves you, and he's calling you. He's calling you today through these two simple preachers that have experienced. We've experienced it. We know what we're talking about. Not because we're so smart, but because we have experienced it.
Well, we've experienced it, and we're relaying to those that are listening, Herschel, exactly what the Word of God says.
Right. He is smart.
Oh, yes. Beyond measure, he is.
He knows the end from the beginning.
Yes, he does. And he has warned and warned and warned, not only in the Word of God, but in life itself. I mean, just look at the practical side of life.
Right.
And if you look at the practical side of life and the wonderful creation that God has provided for us, that's the only reason. He didn't provide it for the scientists.
Right.
He provided it for everybody.
Right.
The scientists have gone to seed on it in a lot of cases, but a lot of the scientists believe the Word of God because they have no other explanation for it. And the same thing here. You and I just need to follow our logic And it'll lead us to the Lord. It'll lead us to the grace of God. Because you go out tonight or some crisp, cool night and look up into the heavens and see how many stars you see. And the fact that every one of those stars are exactly where they were when God created this universe. And they haven't varied.
No.
If they had, we wouldn't be here.
Right.
They start banging against one another, then you would have the effects of a Big Bang theory, but you wouldn't be here to study it, and you wouldn't be here to enjoy the mercy of God, because God's made everything to lead us to a right relationship with Him.
And the truth of the matter is, everything about God points us to Him. Not a thing. When I think about, well, how did I know Jesus really was the divine Son of God? And then I say, well, you know, I never heard of anybody else being resurrected from the dead and not to die no more. I had a daughter that was declared not going to live through the night, and God, with His mercy, granted her good health again. But she's going to die one of these days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because it's appointed unto men once to die. And after death comes the judgment. But Jesus was crucified, and yet He arose from the grave.
Amen. Came forth victorious.
That's exactly right. So people, you can trust in Him. He's been there. He's been through death. He's been through the things that He's trying to help you and I to do. Now, the Christian life, we're not trying to tell you won't have struggles.
No.
Man, I've had all kinds of struggles in my life. You will too. But there's something about having Jesus there with you that makes it possible for you to go through those times. So far we've talked about the fact that Jesus calls through the gospel preaching. We've talked about that Jesus calls through His divine seeking. Nobody ever sought for you like Jesus did. Nobody ever sought for you like
Amen.
He did. Then now we come to the third part, and that's going to take up those verses 18 through 20, if you will read them, Brother Pinion.
And the title of that, God calls through those who are willing. And in John chapter 1, verse 18 to 19 and 20, the Bible said, and when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him.
So when he called them, they went home, and they said, well, about 6 weeks later we're going to consider this and get all the fish sold and get the boat repainted and put it on the market. And we're going to do that eventually. But what was their response when he called?
Well, they didn't have to think about it. They didn't have to pray about it. They didn't have to wait a while till they got everything in order. The Bible said they just straightway.
Immediate.
I mean, right then and there. They left the nets, and they left the nets with Zebedee and those other hired servants that they had working with them in the fishing business. And they said, adios, amigos.
That's right.
We're out of here.
So, you may have a job, and you say, this job, I hear cussing and carrying on and all of that all the time around it, and I get caught up in it myself sometime, and Jesus comes and convicts you and says, don't do that anymore. You be a witness. You be willing for Him to make a change in your life. Let me tell you what you do. You don't go home. You don't go home and add up all the other stuff. You just say, yes, Lord. Just say, yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Do it immediately.
That's what it takes to get saved.
It is. And that's what it takes to continue not being saved, because you don't get lost again, but continuing being in the Lord's will.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be out of God's will for anything in this world.
Not if I can help you.
No, not at all. I would not deliberately do anything that would take me out of God's will. Do it immediately. But not only was their response immediately, but I believe their response was inspired.
Oh, they had to be inspired by him.
Right.
Jesus.
Right.
He had called them. Maybe up until then, all they had heard of was about him, see?
Probably so.
Because the wonders of the Lord are something to broadcast.
Right.
And in this day and generation, there were many wonders of the Lord. And they had heard about him. And when he called them, buddy, they didn't have to pray about it. They didn't have to think about it. They didn't have to ask one another, well, let's do it together. They just picked up and left the nets. They were mending the nets when he came. And somebody was mending the nets when they left.
They left that mending in somebody else's hand.
They sure did. They left it to the servants and mm-hmm. to the father.
Mm-hmm. So they said, well, we're going to do what he asked us to do. That's what God's asking you to do right now is to trust him. And you don't wait till all your problems are solved. You don't wait till all the temptations are gone out of your life. You may be addicted to drugs right now. And God's saying to you, leave those things. And you say, no, I can't. I can't do that. I got to have them. No, you don't. No, you don't. God can relieve you of that desire. He can change it. God's able. Now, I'm not telling you not to get any help from the medical people, but I'm telling you, you can overcome. You be inspired to believe that. You be inspired to trust him and to believe that. But not only was their response immediately and inspired, but it was inclusive. Who all did he deal with in verse 19?
In verse 19, he dealt with James and John, didn't he?
He did.
And these were brothers.
They are.
Sons of Zebedee. And
he had just spoken there to Simon and Andrew.
Yeah.
And so there, you know, he's including the whole bunch there. And that's what Jesus is doing for you. He's telling you, I'm not going to leave you out. I'm not going to turn you down. If you come to him right now because you're feeling the call of the Holy Spirit of God in your life, and he's saying you're wrong, you need your life changed, you need to give your heart to Jesus. Don't wait. Don't delay. For far too many people have waited until it was too late.
Oh, yeah.
Waited until it was too late. I do not know, but I had a man in the first church that I pastored who told me that he could not be saved. I don't know. I said, how do you know that? He said, because God no longer convicts me. He said, I've turned him down. I've turned him down. I've turned him down. And he no longer convicts me. I don't know. But unless you know for sure, you come to Jesus right now immediately. Had another fella that was a member of my present church, and he came on a Sunday night. I mean, came, picked me up, slapped off the floor, and told me he had to be saved. Well, but he could not get it in his mind that God would save a fella like him. And it took about 2 weeks of hard praying and hard Bible study, but eventually he understood. He understood that Jesus loved him and that Jesus would forgive him. Have you heard the call of Jesus? Have you responded to his call? If you've not, please, please, I beg you, Brother Pinion begs you.
Amen.
Come to him in faith, and it'll change your life. Your life here, it'll change your life in the coming years. No, not years, but in the coming eternity that's coming to us. You'll have eternal life. For now, it'll be yours, and forever. It'll be yours. May God bless you this week and bring you to hear His call. Join us next week as we talk about Jesus again. God bless you.